The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network.
This is Happy Hour with Lucy and Nikki.
I always say without Red Bull, my entire life as it is now wouldn't exist.
So babe, you are speaking our language.
Literally.
Oh, 100%. You live and breathe Red Bull. Like that shit's going through your veins.
You really, honestly, I'm literally drinking a sugar-free as we speak.
Cheers, babes. Welcome to Happy Hour with Lucy and Nikki, the real-life shit you only discuss over a drink. But before we start, a little disclaimer.
So we are here for a good time and not a long time, so if you are easily offended, then...
Pop, pop, a do, pop, shoo.
I'm fresh out of content, guys. Wow. I need someone to send me through what I should be saying after that line because I just keep running out of ideas.
Who needs words when you can have a little jingle? That's what I've got to say about that.
Well, that's just that's exactly it, doll. No, today we're so excited because we have a very, very amazing guest coming on board. You guys know we love chatting with, you know, some inspirational women of business. And today we have exactly that.
100% inspirational. Get ready to have your socks blown off and be inspired. We've got Jess, who is one of the founders of Frank Bod on the podcast today. So if you guys don't know what Frank Bod is, you're living under a rock.
Quite literally. If you guys are in your 20s or even early 30s, you will know very much who Frank Bod is. Well, not who, but what Frank Bod is. We've all grown up with it.
Yeah.
It's the OG coffee scrub. Yeah.
Pioneered that coffee scrub. I remember first sort of seeing, you know, posts about Frank Bod and stuff, and I was always like, who is this absolute dirty character of a brand I'm reading here? Like the brand personality of it is so cool. Like it's like one
so
of the-
So cheeky.
Yeah, super cheeky. I think that's why it's done so well, to be honest. Like you can really get around it.
They kind of were like we said just before, the pioneers in influencer marketing and that real kind of, I don't know, what would you call it, like selfie culture where when they first launched, everyone would put like a little bit of the body scrub on their face and get a selfie in the mirror and kind of like did a cheeky caption. And from there, this was back in the day before kind of influencers were a big thing and it was just becoming, you know, just starting up and their business just absolutely boomed.
Yep.
And now they're just killing it.
Yeah, they do really well. There's four people that, four founders, I should say, that work within the business now. And it's just so interesting, like hearing about their different roles and sort of, you know, how they started to where they are now. It's all natural and cruelty-free as well, which I think is so epic to create like affordable natural skincare.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're so lucky actually because we've gotten to work with Frank Bod as a brand and kind of, I guess, through We The Wild Ones. And we feel so blessed to be affiliated with such a cool brand that not only has such a cool brand personality but has such a cool, like, I guess, entrepreneurial story behind them. So just to give you a little bit of a background, the girls, Jess and Bree, both actually were in the wings team at Red Bull, much
believe
the same
or not,
as Miss Nicola Westcott and myself. So they met in their Red Bull days and from there kind of formed a bond and started another business, which was a copywriting business, which then kind of saw the opportunity to launch a product-based business and they joint forces with a couple of other people, one of them being Bree's now fiance, who owned a cafe at the time. And from there, they developed the product of using the coffee, leftover coffee beans to create the scrub. Did you know that?
I did, yeah. And even that's so sustainable within itself too.
Yeah, so cool. And so the whole business kind of started with them, you know, forcing their family and their brothers and their sisters to come and work for them in their warehouse in the way that many startups do. Like we've forced Maddie and Cam to come and pack a bunch of orders for us several times.
We were laughing before. We're kind of like when we finished the chat, we were kind of like, wow, I think most startups pay people in pizza and beer.
That's exactly it.
And my kind of currency.
That's it. Fast forward 8 or 9 years now and the business has, you know, like multiple product lines. Mm. They've almost got 800,000 followers on Instagram. You know, they've been used by some of the biggest influencers in the world, and they're actually about to start stocking in Target in the US, which is just massive.
Yeah, huge.
So, well, yeah.
I'm excited to see their journey for the next few years as well. I think they're just going to keep killing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we do have to warn you guys, though, their audio quality, because we were doing this via Skype, like telecommunication podcasting vibes. So
very yeah, technical. Very technical
terminology there.
Here.
But yeah, the audio might be a little bit laggy. So just wanted to pre-warn you about that. But before we kickstart, Nick, what are you drinking in your hand right now? Because it just looks that simply stunning.
Darling, it's very refreshing. I've got the Recorderleg Premium Swedish Cider Blush Rosé drink, and it is divine.
It is shit that's fresh, for lack of a better word.
That's all I can say.
But yeah, no, we are trying the new Blush Rosé by Recorderleg. You guys know that we love Recorderlegs. This bad boy is available at Dan Murphy's, Liquorland and First Choice.
And again, it's a lower sugar alternative as well. So there's only 119 calories per serve. So
for something that tastes this good, you would not think there's only 119 calories.
No. So it's like a nice, it's got blended red berries and a dash of peach in it, which you can kind of taste, but it's not overly sweet. So
it still has that cider flavor. So it's not like I'm drinking like a sweet, sweet, sweet drink. It's definitely got a, yeah, it's yummy as.
Anyway, I highly recommend these guys. So we're just sipping on one today, you know, drinking responsibly as always.
As always. And now we're going to just kickstart straight into the episode with Jess. So let's do this.
Let's go.
Come on down, Jess from Frank Body.
Thanks for having me. How are you both?
We are good. We're excited to have you on the podcast today.
Me too.
But we'll start with asking, what is your wildest story?
Ooh. That's a good, I've never been asked that before. Okay, I don't know if it's my wildest story, but something that people don't really know about me is that I actually used to be a DJ.
Oh, you're kidding.
Oh my God.
Fun fact, we just kicked off our DJ career on the weekend, so there you go.
Thank you.
We did.
What kind of music are you playing?
Absolute
bangers.
House rinses, I would say.
What kind of music did you play? I'm very intrigued.
I used to play tech house.
Oh, cool.
So I worked at a music agency. It was my first job while I was at uni, and I was doing like a combination of communications and PR and logistics, and they managed basically every major DJ in Australia. And at the time they kept talking about how there was a severe shortage of women in the industry, and they were trying to really encourage women to get involved. So I sort of threw my hand up to kind of take some lessons and just taught myself how to DJ, and it all grew from there. And I ended up traveling all over the country and all over the world.
That oh my God, so cool. Stop it. Who's the biggest DJ that you ever played with?
Well, it depends what category you play in, but like the most exciting gigs I played, I think, was opening for Flume and Disclosure. Like,
are you joking?
Just casually, that's all massive. Time.
It was insane. I definitely fangirled.
I'm fangirling really you right now, to be honest.
Yeah.
I am such a different woman now. Now I'm in bed. The other day, because the sun's setting so early, I looked at my husband and like, is 6:52 too early to go to bed?
Or, oh my gosh.
Like, oh, that is so cool though. So Flume and Disclosure, like, I've got to give you background. I'm like a huge Flume fan, like kind
it was,
of low-key obsessed, want to date
wild,
him.
He's gorgeous. A wild time of my life.
So good. When was that, if you don't mind me asking? Like, how many years ago?
I think it's been about maybe 5 or 6 years since I stopped playing. I was overseas and I'd come back and, you know, I used to set my alarm. I'd go to bed and then set my alarm at like 1 a.m. to get up and go play a 2 a.m. gig. And I remember getting up, getting dressed and walking out of my apartment, and someone called me. They're like, oh, the venue's stuffed up all the set times. You were actually supposed to be in at on at one for the main slot, but they've told you two, so your slot's gone. And it was the moment I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's crazy hours. And everyone kind of just forgets about like what would logistically be involved with that. Like, yep, no, I had to set my alarm because I was in bed like any normal person.
Yeah. Yeah. And we were trying to run Frank and Willow and Blake at the same time. And you know, when you just feel like you're not doing any of them well. So something had to give, and that was the one that I let go.
You bit the dust on your DJ career and just decided to focus on the others. Probably not the worst decision you've ever made, but I'd love to see you on the decks one day if you're ever interested in revamping.
Maybe
that.
A private lesson, yeah, for us.
Should have a reunion gig. That'd be fun.
Yeah, for sure. Well, moving on to the kind of more Frankie stuff, what made you guys want to start Frank Bod? So what was the kind of like, you know, inception stage of Frank?
There's a few of us involved in Frank Body. There's four founders that are still in the business. And two of us, myself and Bree, we started another company called Willow and Blake a few years prior. We're both copywriters by trade. And we'd been working with a lot of clients that were asking to see risky and bold ideas. But then when it came to actually following through on it, they always wanted to water the ideas down. And we really believed that that was a reason that some of them didn't see success, because, you know, you can spot a half-baked idea from a mile away. So for us, we really wanted to get involved in managing a product from the branding side to really see what we were capable of if we had full control of the brand. And at the same time, two of our friends, Alex and Steve, who are the CEO and COO of Frank Body now, we're also really interested in moving into a product-based business, because we were all in service-based industries. So Alex was the real e-com specialist. He was very excited about what was coming in that industry. And, you know, this is 8 or 9 years ago that we were having these conversations. So it wasn't really a big thing then to start your own e-commerce business. And DTC, you know, that wasn't even language that people were using. And Steve is a real ideas man when it comes to product. So he was the one that actually came up with the idea for the original coffee scrub. So we sort of combined all of these elements and thought, hey, we've actually got an idea for a product, people that can execute all of the different elements of it for now. What have we got to lose? And it was that we had those conversations like, oh, what if we make $100 for beer money? Yeah, we'll be happy with that. This can just be something fun that we do on the side. And we had no idea what we were getting ourselves into.
And look at you now, like 8 or 9 years down the track, and you're all still like going crazy, like this epic business. So cool.
It's been a really exciting journey. And I think the reason that we have the business that we do today is because of the team. And if it had still just been, you know, us as founders trying to kick along and get things done, I don't think we would have really grown into what we are now. So I'm really grateful that we're surrounded by such great people all day.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So how quickly, I guess, did your team grow? Because it would have just started with the four of you, or did you have a few extra hands on deck to begin with?
We, in terms of running the day-to-day of the business, it was just us, but we hired a lot of friends and family to help us pick and pack the product, because at the start it was, you know, like true unglamorous startup style. Like we were in this crappy cold warehouse. We were making everything by hand. We would work all day and then go there at night to like mix the coffee scrub, put it in the bags, put it in an envelope, like wheel it down to the post office in trolleys. It was like, there's nothing fun about starting a business. It's just like hard grunt work.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So we had this like huge pick pack line with our friends and family, and we'd pay them hourly, and then we'd buy everyone pizza and wine and put on a movie. And that was how it kicked off. So they were technically our first employees. And then we hired some people in customer service to really help us manage that. And it just grew bit by bit. You know, it wasn't until years 5 through to 7 that we had what I think is a really established senior team.
Yeah.
It took us a long time to be able to afford to do that.
We love Ash, your marketing girl.
She's a legend.
Oh, she's the best. Yeah. We adore.
Oh, good. I adore her too. And like, they all care about the business like it's their own. And we're really specific when we do hire people. We're very proud and protective of the culture at Frank Body. I think people come to work here because they are really excited to do something different.
100%. You can kind of see that, like, when we met her and Tess, they were just like, they are the brand. It was so nice.
Yeah, it's really cool.
We were kind of like, so what are you guys doing? And then we're like, oh, they're not even, you know, the owners or anything. It's so sick.
That's so true. Yeah. Like, I hope you guys would have experienced it at the sleep retreat. And they care about the people that they're working with. And I hope that's values that, you know, we've instilled in them. because it's really interesting in our industry, I guess, how transactional it can be and how many people just don't really care about building relationships.
Yeah, it's so important, isn't it? Mm. Like, and like even just going back to you talking about your brand as well, it's so – one thing about Frank Body that's so cool with the brand of Frank Bod, it's so cool that, you know, it really does – it's such a strong brand and it runs not only through all your social media and all your packaging and product, but also into your team with like cool members like Ash. And yeah, it's just a very strong brand presence. Mm.
I think you need that to really be able to grow a brand effectively. And coming from a marketing background, you would know this. You can see through a brand when it's built for the wrong reasons or people just like slap things together to try and make money. Whereas if you really care about a brand and you build a really strong DNA, there's something more there for the people who are buying the products to actually get involved in. And for the people who work in the company, like they have more to believe in than just a scrub.
Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. And we actually used to be in the wings team at Red Bull. And I heard on the grapevine that some of you guys used to be in the wings team at Red Bull too. Is that right?
We have a lot in common, don't we?
Yeah, we do. We were both Red Bull girls.
Yes. So I worked in the wings team. Oh, my God. How many years ago would that be? Like 12, 13 years ago when I was at uni. And that's actually how I met Bree.
Oh, my God.
I always say without Red Bull, my entire life as it is now wouldn't exist.
So, babe, you are speaking our language.
Actually.
And it was the best crash course in marketing because you taught so much about customer segments and they are a brand that is like, it's almost like a cult really. Like
oh, 100%.
You live and breathe Red Bull. Like that shit's going through your veins.
You really, honestly, I'm literally drinking a sugar-free as we speak.
I finally kicked my habit a few years ago, but I remember when I was finishing up, I was like, what am I going to do without free Red Bull all the time? I'll die.
Oh, listen, I'm sure they'd deliver you a case to your office if you really wanted one.
Yeah, that's true. I should ask. So Bree and I met there and then it was on, you know what the wings team's like. We went out like a giant
rat pack
of girls one night. And it was that night out, Bree met Steve, who is our CEO and her now husband. So I'm like, if we didn't have this
experience,
would we have all actually met?
It's crazy the bonds that you make working for that business. Like, thank you, Red Bull, because even now to this day, the wings team is still our best friend. We still have so many like business connections with people we used to work with, whether they were in the wings team or SBMs or in the sales team. So it's just crazy.
I think it's really amazing what at least the women that I was in the wings team with have gone on to achieve. And it seems like every kind of group that comes through do the same thing, you know. It's really easy to write people in that job off and be like, oh, they're just airheads running around giving out free Red Bull. And I was like, we actually had a pretty ruthless job interview process
I literally got goosebumps. I totally agree with you. It's kind of like everyone that sort of works there kind of honestly goes on to do something fucking epic. It's amazing.
Yeah. I can think of half a dozen women that I was there with that now own their own business. There's lawyers, there's people working in like bioscience. Like they're highly educated, smart women who landed themselves into a really great job that gave you flexible working hours and you had a lot of fun. I'm like, they're the smartest people I've ever met.
Yeah, literally. Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. So prior to obviously – well, not prior to, you went from the wings team. What was your career progression from there to then now being, you know, one of the founders of Frank Bod? How did your kind of career path play out after that?
Like everyone, I think, you know, your time comes to an end in the wings team and you don't feel challenged by it anymore. So I finished up and I was doing my master's and got offered a job at 360 Agency, which was the music agency that I mentioned before. And
yeah.
Decided to take a leap of faith and took that job because I knew an opportunity like that wouldn't come around again. And I knew uni would be there if I wanted to go back and finish my thesis. So I did that and I worked there for about 2 years. And that was where I met Alex, who's our COO and the other founder. And We worked directly underneath the two owners of the business, Grant Smiley and Pete Sofo. And I learnt so much from them, and they were the most generous people with their time, and introduced me to everybody that they could think of. And after a few years, I realised that I didn't want to work for them anymore, and I wanted to be them. And I had ambitions that I didn't even know were there to go and start my own business. And my passion had always been in writing. So we took yet another leap, quit my job, and we started Willow and Blake, which is now a full-service branding agency, but at the time was a copywriting agency. And my first day of work was like, we had no idea what to do. We got up, we were in our pajamas, we worked at home. You know, the true, I was 20, how old was I? 23, 24, you know, I was young and trying to make my way and didn't have a lot of role models, especially as women, that I could learn from. When it came to starting my own business. So we fumbled our way through. And maybe about 3 years after that was when we started Frank Body.
That's so, so cool. Cool.
So who came up, I've always wanted to know, with like the brand personality of Frank? Because he's a bit bloody cheeky.
Cheeky. That was myself. There's four of us still remaining, but at the time there was five of us. So yeah. Myself, Bree and Eri, who were running Willow and Blake. Now that's just Bree and myself. We came up with the brand, the name, the tone of voice for Frank. It was really like our process is always very similar. There's a lot of understanding the market. So we do a lot of competitor research. And the main thing that we saw was that there was a huge opportunity for us to play on social. But if we were going to do that, we needed to be able to interact with people in the way that they were used to. And there weren't brands playing on social at the time. So it felt strange to come in and talk as a third party brand in a platform that was designed for friends to communicate with each other.
Yeah.
And you know, you would have had this experience where you're sold the dream by a lot of beauty companies. They sell you hope in a jar and it costs $200 and it doesn't do anything that it said it was going to do. Whereas the results from using our body scrub, it was like they were incredible. The coffee scrubs actually do everything that they say they're going to do. And it's cheap, you know, and it's natural ingredients, but it looks like dirt. So there's nothing fancy about it. And we just wanted to be very honest and upfront. So that was where the philosophy of Let's Be Frank came from. And it was the merging of that philosophy and the idea of creating a first-person character that we could use on social that led us to come up with the character of Frank and then the brand of Frank Body.
So cool. Because, like, when I think about, I've kind of grown up in my 20s, I guess, like, watching Frank Bod grow and evolve. And I just thinking from it from my perspective, I would say that you guys were definitely one of the first companies to take to Instagram in particular with a product and just make it now, like there's a lot of it now, like it's a lot more saturated now. But back then you guys were definitely like a pioneer in like selling a product through Instagram, like
everyone wanted to be in that shower with that scrub on their face.
Like, literally that selfie, you know, in the shower.
Getting dirty in the shower with Frank.
Yeah. That was pretty iconic at the time. And I think people's behavior with social has changed a lot. It was very raw back then. And now our feeds are highly curated. So it'd be a very tough time to launch as a business and trying to get user generated content. I'm really glad we launched when we did.
Yeah, totally.
Absolutely.
Because, yeah, we've obviously like worked with you guys, you know, a few times now. Do you think that influencer marketing has been like a big one for your business? Like how much sort of do you rely on social media from, yeah, influencers?
Oh, huge, huge. It's changed a lot over the years. But when we launched, myself and Brian Airy emailed thousands of bloggers, and I don't think the word influencers even existed then. We used to call them KOLs, key opinion leaders, which I'd learnt from my old job.
Oh my god, that's so, even such a Red Bull term, isn't it?
Opinion leader.
Yeah. Such a Red Bull term. So it was like KOLs and bloggers. We would email everyone we could find, and you'd assume a hit rate of like 1 in 10. So if you emailed 100 people, 10 would get back to you. So it was a volume game. And that was back when it was a new like emerging sector. So we weren't really discussing payment with anyone. It was really just product in exchange for posts. And it was that awareness that actually allowed us to get off the ground. And then it's evolved a lot over the years. I think we went through a period where it became way too expensive to work with influencers for a lot of brands, and you didn't see the return, so you were just setting money on fire.
Yeah.
And now I think it's, there's a really good reciprocal relationship now between influencers and brands, where the influencer knows that they're running a business, and so they treat it as such, and there's a lot of mutual respect, a lot of negotiation to make sure that everything's beneficial for both sides. And that's how you have that ongoing relationship, and that's why we work with certain people in a regular way, because we know that they care about the results for us and we care about the results for them.
Yeah, that's so it. True. It's so important making like strong, like really authentic brand connections, because you can kind of just see straight away when a blogger's promoting something that they're getting paid to do, and you know, it's pretty straightforward. It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and we've found, you know, there have been times when we work with someone who's got millions of followers and we think this will be great, and it does nothing, like absolutely nothing for us. And we just lost all of the money that we paid them. It didn't even drive traffic to the website. So you learn more about the right type of influencers to work with for your brand. And it's about choosing them, the ones that have engaged communities. So if their communities are asking them a lot of questions on their posts regularly, you know that's probably a better influencer for you to work with as a brand.
Yeah, so totally. True. Well, now the Frank Body range is just so much more than like a coffee scrub. It's, you know, you guys have got like
lip balms,
hair masks, all the bells and whistles, the new sleep scrub that we went on the retreat. That. We love it. What's been your favorite product to work on, or is there like, do you have a standout that you were so excited for the launch, or just, yeah, fill us in on your faves?
Well, I think as we mature as a brand, our product development is getting better and better. And because we produce natural products, the technology is getting better. So 7 years ago, what we could do in the natural space versus now is very different. Some of the recent products that we've launched, the vitamin C brightening mask was a pet project of mine. And it is actually our strongest product launch since the original coffee scrub. People have gone nuts for it.
That's amazing.
So I'm really proud of that one. It's a really nice, like, it's a combination of AHAs and fruit enzymes. So it dissolves dead skin and leaves, like, focuses on pigment and wrinkles and brightening. But it's developed for sensitive skin like me. Like, some things I would put on my face and just felt like I'd poured a tub of acid on there and it burned. And a lot of the products in that category are really expensive and price people out. You know, not a lot of people have $100 and $120 to spend on a product that may or may not work. So if we can create really good quality products in the $15 to $30 price range, then I think we can help a lot of people out. So yeah, I love definitely. That one.
That's amazing. So like from, I guess, initial idea to actually having the product, you know, be ready for sale, what sort of timeline is that? Or is every product a bit different?
Oh, it's really different now. Back in the day, you know, we would just hustle and get things ready in a couple of months, but our business was a lot less complex then because we were selling only online. Now we sell in Mecca here in Australia. You know, we've just launched in Target in the US, and we've got retailers all over the world. It's very exciting. It'll be interesting to see how it goes given everything that's going on at the moment, but we're excited about it. So essentially from if we want to launch a product, we need to be starting to plan it about 57 weeks in advance. So
just a little over a year.
A little over a year.
Yeah. That's crazy. Because are there certain kind of testing and stuff, being like a cosmetic product, are there certain kind of testing that you guys have to get approved for before you can sell a product in certain countries?
There's certain like guidelines that you need to adhere to. Our products aren't therapeutic goods, so you don't have to go through like FDA approval. But we also don't make certain claims for that reason. We go through a lot of testing with our team. So basically they're our guinea pigs, and we all use the products for many, many months to make sure that they don't cause any adverse reactions. And we go through a lot of stability testing with our manufacturer. So they have all these different versions of the product sitting in different conditions to see what happens to it. And then there have been some products that are, you know, some are really simple and we get it right straight away. And some is like beating your head against a brick wall trying to get a product to do what you want it to do.
I could imagine there's a lot of trial and error. It took or something like that.
Over 2 years to get them. Oh, yeah. It can be really tough.
I'm interested to know, because obviously you're from like a marketing background. How have you kind of become, you know, like, are you really interested in the actual product side of thing and developing the product? Do you have kind of like, are you kind of like a, I don't even know what the right word is for someone that comes up with those kinds of things, but are you really interested in that side of things now, or do you find that you're still kind of just more focusing on the brand stuff and that you've got your team that can look after those more producty things?
I love it. Product development is probably my favorite thing to do. So I'd say my two core functions are, you know, the analytics component of marketing, so developing strategies based on data. I'm still involved in the branding side. It falls under my umbrella, but we have a great team that manages that. We finally hired a product development manager in December, which is really exciting because until now it's been the directors managing it. But so it's the four of us together with our product development manager that lead all of the concepting and ideation. I think that they're so interlinked. You know, if you just hand products over to a marketing team and expect them to sell them, I don't think you're really going to see great results. Whereas if you retrofit ideas based on the insight that the marketing team can bring to product development because they know what customers want, then you produce better goods.
Yeah, totally. Wow, your business is so much more technical than ours.
I know, I'm like, just like getting inspired listening to all of this.
Literally, I'm like, we just see a singlet and go, ooh, I like that. I want to make one of them for myself.
Make one in bulk and one in light.
Oh, so cool.
And so are you guys in the office like most days, like all of the founders? Because it still sounds like you're obviously super involved with everything.
Yeah. We work full time in the business, in the office every day. Obviously not at the moment. We're all working at home. So we're not really, you know, we're not the type of people that just set up a company and leave. So I act as CMO. Steve is CEO. Alex is COO. And Bree is on maternity leave at the moment, returning to work in about 6 or 7 weeks, which will be really exciting.
Oh, that will be.
We love it. We're not the type of people that could just sort of twiddle our thumbs and do nothing. I think the challenge is in continuously growing and evolving the brand.
Yeah, totally. Like as business owners as well, I feel like it would be probably more challenging even like having to take that step away. Like I'd still be like, what's happening? Talk to me.
Yeah, we're control freaks.
Yeah. Feels. And do you guys like, do you have any plans in the future to start any more businesses as like a collective group, or do you think you're just going to keep plugging away with Frank? Like, what's the future plans for you guys?
Yeah, we are definitely serial entrepreneurs. We're all always looking at other opportunities, and then I guess you have to weigh up the opportunity cost. I think one of the biggest mistakes that some entrepreneurs make is that they really lack follow through and they just constantly start new things, but they haven't actually proven longevity and their ability to grow something through testing times. And I'm really, really proud of what we've been able to do at Frank. Like, it hasn't just been an upward trajectory. We've had really testing times over the years where we've thought, do we want to keep doing this, or will there still be a business for us tomorrow? So I think you learn how to become a better entrepreneur by sticking through something. That said, the ideas are always there. I was even just talking to my husband about it about an hour before we started this. Like, I've got an idea. Here's what I'm thinking.
I feel like that's the, you know, if you weren't having those ideas all the time, whether or not you pull through with all of them, but I feel like that is the kind of mindset of an entrepreneur. Like, if you see an opportunity, you always kind of think, what can I do with that?
Yeah, you can't help it because you're engineered to problem solve. So you can't just turn that part of your brain off.
Yeah, totally. And what would you say, like, if you can share with us, would have been one of your biggest like business challenges or biggest business learnings to date so far?
My biggest learning, I think just realizing that I didn't know everything and that I didn't have to have the answers to everything. As a leader, I always felt like I was supposed to provide an answer to someone's question, and I'm not a robot. I'm just a human. I don't have the answers sometimes. And so learning to be okay with that was one of my biggest challenges.
Yeah, totally. And as a boss, what do you think your biggest strengths and weaknesses are? Like, do you kind of all have the same in your team, or are there some of you that are better at certain things? If kind of all four of you founders kind of act as, I guess, the bosses. Is that how it works?
Yeah. So we've gotten a lot better at this over the years in terms of delineation between our roles. So we have different people that report into us and then different people that report into them. So we essentially manage different teams and we have really different functions and we allow each other to just run with what is our job, whereas before I think we felt like we were supposed to be across everything and we'd almost micromanage each other, which wasn't very effective. So getting better at that has been huge in terms of like the benefit to the business and the time saving for everybody.
Totally.
Yeah. In terms of our weaknesses, I think every individual in the team has their own set of strengths and weaknesses. And I think the biggest weakness that you can have is not understanding that you have weaknesses. I work with people historically who just don't see, have so little self-awareness, they don't understand when they're doing something. So I think trying to cultivate self-awareness is really important to combating your weaknesses.
Great answer.
And on your journey so far, we always love asking this, would you have done anything differently, like knowing what you know now?
No, I wouldn't, because everything that I did has led me to where I am now. So there were definitely times that were extremely challenging and, you know, but had I not gone through them, perhaps I wouldn't have learnt certain lessons or we wouldn't have made certain decisions that have led us to where we are now. So it's very cliche to be like, everything happens for a reason, but sometimes
it's actually so true though, isn't it?
I'm just wondering too, with the four of you kind of all being founders, do you find that in trying or like testing times that that's a nice thing, knowing that there's kind of four of you going through the motions together, more so than just, you know, like I often think because Nikki and I own our business together, it is nicer because when times do get tough or if something bad happens, I know that there's someone else who's feeling it just as equally as me. Have you found that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it can be great and hard at the same time. It's like we're such close friends. So when you need to have those hard conversations with each other, that can make it difficult. Or sometimes, you know, you can't ever expect that four people are always going to see eye to eye or would make the same decision. So it means that there's more discussions. But the benefit of that is that you all have to then start to see things from a different perspective. Everybody brings different insights to the decision making and no single person has to wear the responsibility for everything, especially when you're running a growing company. So I think it depends on the personality type if it's a good thing or a bad thing. For us, it's been a great thing.
Yeah, that's good.
It teaches you so much about even just how to communicate too, I feel. Like if you have to have those sort of tricky conversations with, you know, like working with your best friends, like that's Like you said, it's like kind of like the best thing in the world. However, what people don't realize is that like that could also be like, you know, so hard to have those conversations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's really tough. And I think we've learned to do it in a way where it's better to say something, but you have to say it with kindness. And you always assume positive intent from the person you're talking through. Like, I don't think most people say this because they want to be an asshole. Most people say it because they genuinely want to help and achieve
to be constructive or totally, absolutely.
I think there's a lot of training and learning to do to be able to do that effectively though.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you guys undergo any kind of like
HR training even?
Yeah, or like, you know, do you do any courses or anything to help you kind of learn to be better bosses and kind of as your company grows that you so you grow with it? Or have you done any like talk me through that, because we need that advice right now.
tons. So that's probably where I have spent the most time upskilling, because I think to get the most out of the team and to be able to give them what they need personally and professionally, you have to understand how you function as a boss and how you function as a leader. So we've all done the training in different ways. For myself, it looked like working with a business coach and a leadership and development coach. So I worked with two different people on that, each of them giving me different insights. And the number one thing was really about cultivating self-awareness, like I touched on before, because that's the tool that you need to be able to be a better leader. It's really often the leaders that are ineffective are the ones that are always just looking outward at their team and what they are doing right and wrong. But that all starts at the top. So if people aren't doing the right thing, it's because you're not giving them the information or the guidance or the tools that they need to do it. So you have to work on yourself first before you can expect change to occur anywhere else. So I have spent many monies and many hours focusing on that stuff, and it was worth every cent and every minute.
Yeah, that's so cool. Like, you're a business owner, but you can still like recognize that it's always important to invest in yourself. Like, that's a good lesson to take away.
You have to. And there's good free tools as well. Like, I don't always just spend money on things. I just read heaps. There's so much good literature online. The Harvard Business Review does a lot on this sort of stuff. And they produce books that are really cheap. They're like $15, $20, and they're short essays from business leaders and, you know, psychologists and that sort of stuff. And they have a website where you can get a few free articles a month. So there's ways to do it cheaply as well.
Yeah, totally. Would you like definitely recommend getting like paying, spending up big on someone like a business development manager? Like, do you think that, I'm like genuinely asking for my own benefit here, but do you think that investing in that kind of thing is like well and truly worth every dollar?
In terms of like a coach or a mentor that you work with?
Yeah, or just someone to help you. I guess like from our perspective, being like very early stage business owners, there are sometimes things that we come across and it's like, well, if I can't solve the problem or Nikki can't solve the problem,
who the hell do we ask?
Do you know what I mean? And like there can be, you can do as much Googling as you want, but it's kind of like sometimes it's not something that can be Googled per se.
Yes. I get what you mean. I do think it's worthwhile. It's going to look really different for every business and industry. The thing I would say about it is I would give yourselves the test of doing it with free resources first, because I think it can you'll find that you can actually solve the problem a lot of the time, but maybe sometimes we're a little bit scared or apprehensive to make the call because there's things on the line. And
yeah,
I found it can be difficult in a dynamic where you are both the decision makers to have one of you make the final call. Maybe that's something about that. I think Bree and I found that we needed to be like, we don't have to agree on everything. Here's your area. Here's mine. You make the call there. But using free resources before you pay for them will show you that you're really dedicated to actually doing it, because it's easy to pay for something and then implementing it is a whole different thing.
Yeah, totally. We've called pretty much every single contact in my phone at this stage to get as much free help as we can.
Yeah. I think that's mainly our thing. It's kind of like, should we just be talking to one person about our business instead of multiple?
Yeah. Yeah. I think you have to look at those costs as an investment in yourself and your business rather than an expense, and that can help you reframe the way you view it.
So true.
Absolutely.
Great advice. So we've probably got time for one lucky last question before you have to duck off. Mm-hmm. What piece of advice would you give to someone wanting to start their own business?
I feel like I'm about to steal Nike's slogan, but it's like, just get it
just
done.
Just do it.
Okay. They're like, don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah, in my many years of running my businesses, so it's been about a decade now, I have met so many people that have good ideas, but they don't actually do anything about getting them done. And then, you know, within that group, there can be a lot of nagging and whinging about why it's not happening. And that's frustrating to listen to. So it's working really hard is the key to launching your business. If you're not prepared to do that, then don't start a business, because it's not fun. Like, in terms of, you know, you're not just going to launch something and it's going to explode. It is like blood, sweat and tears to get it running. So just get started. If you're going to do it, just launch with the shittest version. Doesn't matter. Just actually do something.
Preach. That
great
is
advice.
So true.
I read this thing today and it was like, don't think about like, you know, how old you're going to be by the time you finish that course that you want to start, because you're going to be that age anyway in that many years. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, just start today.
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. I literally read that today and I was like, touche.
Yeah. That's awesome. Because I think we all have so many different versions of ourselves in our lives. Like, I don't think this is what I will do with my whole life. I love it right now. I'm going to keep doing it for a long time, but then there's other things I want to do, and I don't care if I'm 40 when I start them or 50 or 60. Like, just do
it. Great attitude.
Yeah.
Great attitude.
Yeah, so good. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Jess. It has been an absolute pleasure. I really hope one day we actually get the chance to sit down and have a wine with you.
Pick your brain.
Likewise. That would be really fun.
That'd be epic. Well, from one Red Bull girl to another, thank you so much.
Thank you. Keep it real.
Thanks.
And keep hustling.
Thanks for having me, babes.
This podcast is part of the Spin Studio Network. Stay up to date with us. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, leave us a review, and follow us on Instagram at we_the_wild_ones. Cheers, babes.